I'd like you to turn in your Bibles now to Romans. Romans chapter 6. We read from that portion of God's Word just a little bit ago. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. As we watch the news, especially during this time of the year when we celebrate the 4th of July, very often we find on the news those who grumble about the freedoms or lack of opportunity that we have in this country. And I really think that's too bad, as I presume that many of you feel that that's kind of too bad, too. On the other side of the coin, there are those from the Far East, from Asia, particularly in these past years, who have worked hard to come to this country because they view it as a land of opportunity, as a place of opportunity. And they come to this country and succeed. Many of them have enriched themselves by amassing great fortunes. And they love this country because they have seen it as a place of opportunity and have taken advantage of that opportunity and move forward in their personal lives. What is the difference between the two? Well, obviously, on one hand, the latter group has worked hard. They have understood the opportunity which is theirs, and they have seized the moment and worked. Others grumble because the so-called good life has not been handed to them on a silver platter. You know, I think in many ways Christians are that way. Many Christians want instant results without any work. They want to follow what some have said to be the way to do it, let go and let God. They have assumed a passive stance, and then they wonder why the growth does not really come. The Apostle Paul speaks against this kind of position in our text this morning. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 6. He says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. Paul has been using the analogy of slavery in Romans chapter 6. He has been using that analogy of slavery in order to illustrate a truth. And one of the reasons he has set forth this illustration is because of what he calls the weakness of your flesh. He's saying to you, congregation, I know that you have a certain weakness. And it's true, isn't it? There is a certain weakness that we each have because of sin. Paul calls it the weakness of the flesh in this particular translation. The flesh, and that's actually the word in the original language, the flesh is that which is contrary to God. And we all have this weakness within us due to sin. But Paul is earnest for us to understand that this weakness is not the dominant factor within our lives. I'd like you to look at verses 17 and 18 again. He says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He says to you, folks, I want you to understand that although you have this weakness, it is not the dominant characteristic within your being. You are no longer a slave to sin. In other words, this weakness is not fatal. And folks, I really think we need to get a hold of that point, and we need to get a hold of it quickly and thoroughly in each one of our lives. Yes, we understand that we carry along with us as individuals who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we carry along with us some baggage from the old life. A sinful nature which drags upon us. But although that may be the case, Paul is anxious for us to understand again that this is not the dominant characteristic force within your life and within my life. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. A change has been wrought within you, a wonderful change by the grace of God. And so Paul is fully able to go on to make a comparison between the old life and the new life, understanding that there is this baggage which is present. So we look at verse 19 again. He says, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. It's there, to be sure. But now Paul goes on, and he gives an exhortation to you and to me as Christians. He says, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. That's the negative side. Just as you did that, listen to what he says. So now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Paul is setting forth for us an exhortation, a command. This is what you are to do. Now, what about this negative side? It does relate to the old life. In the King James Version, it speaks of yielding your members, or how you yielded your members to sin and to unrighteousness. The newer versions put it better when they speak of presenting your members. The very same word is used in Romans chapter 1 or Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You are to present yourselves to God. This is not a passive activity. This is a very active movement, an action which is taken. And Paul is talking about the old life here. And he is saying, just as you presented your members, what are your members? Yes, they are the physical members of your body, your hands, your feet, your eyes, your tongue, those different things. But they also include the intellectual capabilities that you have, the emotional makeup that you carry. Each of these things involve your members. In other words, all that you are, you presented in that unbelieving life, you presented, Paul says in verse 19, as slaves to impurity. In other words, the unbeliever with his or her eyes served sin with lustful looks. With his or her tongue served sin with bad language. You know, it's interesting. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his commenting on this particular passage, talked about the fact that it really threw him for a loop when he would go to a function with the elite, a dinner party, and it would be tails and ties, and all of these gentlemen in their tuxedos would be sitting around the table telling lewd stories. That's how it is with sin. The hands served sin not doing on a date what they ought to be doing, not doing at the store what they ought to be doing. And as Paul goes on, he says, "For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity," that's how the sin is described, impurity and lawlessness. What is this impurity? Well, it's interesting that Paul uses this very same word too in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. He says, "Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever." The impurity that Paul is zeroing in on here is sexual impurity. And that's a huge problem today, isn't it? It is a huge problem today. I think it was two or three nights ago on ABC News, there was a spot about teenage pregnancy and a proposed solution for teenage pregnancy. "We are switched to the Netherlands, where every teenage girl 16 years and above is permitted to go to the doctor and get birth control pills without the knowledge of their parents, and it is promoted heavily. There is more promiscuity that way, but there are fewer babies." We promote birth control, but do not promote chastity. Lawlessness is the result. A disregard for the law of God, the commandments of God, dishonored. You know, today the Ten Commandments are basically stripped from public life. It's too bad, isn't it? It really is. It wasn't that long ago that classrooms had a framed copy of the Ten Commandments on their walls. Not so any longer. And what does this say to young people? It says to young people, not in an open public proclamation, but in a subtle way, it says to young people, those commandments are really not that important. There are other things that are more important. Look again at what Paul says. "For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness..." Folks, what does the practice of lawlessness yield? What does it yield? Iniquity grows into iniquity. This is what Paul says. And the essence of what Paul is telling us here is that practice makes perfect. The more you do, the better you are, and the more you want to do. And Paul is telling us here in this particular text that sin is habit-forming. It is addictive. You become a slave to sin. And it really works this way. An occasion of adultery leads to an affair. Drunkenness leads to alcoholism. This is what Paul is telling us. And again, this is why our current trend in sex education programs does not work. Promoting safe sex will only produce more illicit sex. That's what Paul is telling us. Some of you have followed the situation with Pete Rose with a little more interest than others. And it's really a shame that a man who holds the title, is that what you call it, for the most hits in baseball, has fallen the way he has. Here's a fellow who began placing bets. And do you know how many bets he's placed? In the area of 400, one after the other, at $2,000 a crack. That is $800,000. That's incredible. And the rule put on clubhouse walls is that betting is illegal. But one bet leads to another, and to another, and to another. Lawlessness leads to lawlessness. That's what Paul tells us. And it's because of the propensity towards sin which is present in the human heart. Well, let's not stop with the negative here. Look again at this text and see what Paul says. This is terrific. He says, "For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification." Here is the other side of the comparison. He says, "For just as you used to present your members, your eyes, your hands, whatever you did to lawlessness, now present yourself to righteousness." Folks, you realize that you do have the freedom to do that, don't you? You do have the freedom to serve Christ in this fashion. You see, there's a principle at work here. On one side, Paul says there is kind of a negative sanctification. The more the individual sins, the more practice he becomes at it, the further he digs a hole for himself. On the other side, on the positive side, the more an individual serves righteousness, the more practice that individual becomes at righteousness. And the result is growth in Christ, sanctification. That's the principle that Paul is setting before us. And I think it's a tremendous thing. Now, I want you to understand here that the Apostle Paul is not talking about gaining salvation by works. He's not talking about that at all. Look at verse 16 with me, if you would. He says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin, resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" Notice something here. The wages of sin is death. But Paul does not say that the wages of obedience is life. He would never say that. He does not say that obedience results in life. He would not say that, and he could not say that. And let's get that straight. Life comes as a free gift through Jesus Christ. And so Paul would never preach a works righteousness as a way of salvation. He would never do that. Paul is talking about sanctification here. He's talking about your growth and he's talking about my growth. How does sanctification take place? Look again at what Paul says. He says, "Now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Offer yourself, put yourself at the disposal of righteousness." What is righteousness? Well, one way we define righteousness is by the moral law of God, the commandments of God. By doing those commandments. And Paul says, put yourself at the disposal of God through those commandments. When the seventh commandment says, "You shall not commit adultery," listen to that commandment. Set aside lustful thinking. Occupy your mind with the wholeness of the Bible. Occupy your mind with reading, which will produce growth. Obey the command. That's what Paul is telling us. And you know, that takes work. That takes work. You cannot just lay back and expect a balloon or a parachute to come out of heaven and you be changed without some work, some effort expended on your part. Let's look at a companion to this thing that Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 2. Familiar verse. In Philippians chapter 2. Listen to how Paul puts it in Philippians 2, 12 and 13. He says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have obeyed, not only as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Work at it, Paul says. Folks, you've got to work at it. I have got to work at it. It takes work to place ourselves at the disposal of the commands of God and to begin to work out the implications of those commands. It takes energy. You've got to work at it. That's what Paul is telling us. Is hatred, resentment, bitterness your problem? Then work. Listen to this now. Work at love. Work at joy. Work at patience. You know, sometimes we say, "Hey, I need patience. Lord, give me patience now." And we're not willing to work at it. We do need to work at it. And what will be the result of this work by the grace of God? Look again at Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. The last of that verse. He says, "Now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification, in holiness." You see, righteousness is habit forming, folks. It really is. And most of the time, our problem is simply this. We need to break old habits and we need to form new habits by the grace of God. That's what needs to be done. And you can do that. You are free to do that by the grace of God. And the result will be sanctification, holiness. I'd like to read to you what Matthew Henry says about this. These words, righteousness unto holiness. He says, "Intimate growth and progress and ground obtained. As every sinful act confirms the sinful habit and makes the nature more and more prone to sin, so every gracious act confirms the gracious habit. Serving righteousness is unto holiness. One duty fits us for another, and the more we do, the more we may do for God." You know, many times the question is asked, how in the world am I going to change? What is this process of sanctification all about anyway? Well, folks, it works like this. First of all, you are not tyrannized by sin. You are not a slave to sin. That's the wonder of the gospel. It is by the grace of God that that's the case. question is a lack of practice. You need to practice holiness and righteousness. That's not hypocrisy when you do that. Do you know what hypocrisy is? Hypocrisy is a play. Hypocrisy is just a show. But when you go before the living God and you say, Lord, I understand what you want for me, and by your grace I am going to move forward with it, that's not hypocrisy. That's growth by the grace of God. Some of you remember the football coach Vince Lombardi. In the late 50s, when the Green Bay Packers were champions. And I remember seeing interviews of Vince Lombardi and his being asked the question, why do you have such successful teams? And he said, we major in fundamentals. We go over them and over them and over them and over them and over again. Again and again. That's what it takes, doesn't it? Why are the Detroit Pistons NBA champions? I'll tell you what. Every one of those guys stood at that foul line and shot that ball at that basket thousands of times and thousands of times because they knew that missing two or three foul shots could cost them a championship. Folks, what is costing us the championship in the Christian life? A lack of practice in the area of holiness. That's what's costing us the championship. And Paul says, just as in the same way that you presented your members as slaves to iniquity and uncleanness, so now present your members, the members of your body, to righteousness. Do it. You have the freedom to do it. You are no longer slaves of sin, but you are slaves of righteousness. So present your members to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. That's the pathway. The pathway to change that will come when we are willing to put in the time and the energy and the practice, as Paul exhorts us. Paul says again, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Hear the word of God, O people of God, and follow it. Let's pray together. O God in heaven, apply your word to our hearts. Make it real, that we might live that word and be doers of it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.